Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this edition of LifeWest Leadership Line. Today, I've got a good friend with us, Dr. Jimmy Nanda. I'll just give you a little bit of history of Dr. Nanda. Well, I'll just say Jimmy. Jimmy is the chair of the LifeWest Board. He also serves on the International Chiropractors Association, where he's on the executive committee. He's the international director, meaning that he's in charge of everything outside of the United States. Jimmy's is very instrumental with chiropractic in India, and he's just doing great things in chiropractic. So I'm not only proud to call my friend and colleague, but it's great to have you, Jimmy, with us today on the LifeWest Leadership Line. So thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Ron. Appreciate it.
Well, I we can start off, Jimmy. I know, you know, we've got about 20, 25 minutes, but I know that when this whole COVID thing hit, I mean, dude, you were gone. So share about that, about what took place there.
Well, Ron, it was amazing. Actually, we planned a trip to Nepal to do the Everest Base Camp trip over 10 months ago. So it was a pre-planned trip. And when we were leaving, you know, everyone was saying there was no pandemic or anything. They were saying, yeah, you can go out and travel. There was no government advisory at the time. So we head down to Nepal and we went through Delhi, New Delhi, India. It was our stopover. And then we flew to Kathmandu. So we started our trip, and day three into the trip, we're already in a remote area. There's 13 of us. And we get this kind of emergency message in the morning, like 6, 7 in the morning, one morning, and saying, guys, you know what's happening here? India's now banned all transit flights to go back to Canada. There's a pandemic announced by the WHO. So we're all panicking, thinking, what does this mean? Because there's no newspaper, there's no TV. It's the random messages that are coming on the phone, maybe in a spotty area. We don't know how old that message is. We don't know how new it is, so we have no clue. So we just huddled as 13 and we said, what do we do here? We started kind of looking into it and realizing real quick here that there's a global pandemic. The safest place we could essentially be is here in a remote area. There's no one around.
Right.
And to go back was harder than to go forward and continue. So we decided as a group that at this point, to go back might be harder. Let's go towards the Everest Base Camp. And from there, we're going to take a helicopter from there to Kathmandu, and then we can figure this out. And, you know, Ron, it was scary because when we finally made the journey, and it was a tough trek, let me tell you. Everything, you know, chiropractic got me in the best shape of my life in the sense I was training and, you know, adjusted regularly. So it was a months of training to get to that level. We made the trip. All 13 of us made the trip, which is phenomenal for a group that size. Usually, they were even telling us people don't usually make, not everyone will make the whole journey. But we all made it, pushed each other, made it to Everest Base Camp, almost 18,000 feet, very thin air. It was really tough on the system. So your lungs had to be optimal, your breathing, everything had to be optimal. We then took a helicopter to Kathmandu, and lo and behold, during this whole time, we were not allowed to enter India to transit. So we couldn't even get back our tickets.
Right.
So we're trying to scramble for tickets, and we find out that we can possibly go through United Arab Emirates to get back. So we're randomly booking tickets to come back, and we finally got the last three flights out of Kathmandu before they stopped all flights. So we, me and two other guys were on the first flight. We got back, went to United Arab Emirates. We were kind of stuck in the airport, couldn't leave. Everybody was quarantined. Went there, came back to Canada, entered Toronto. I mean, the sigh of relief when we entered Canada or North America, it was just unbelievable. We come through the customs. They clearly told us, you know, self-quarantine. You just came from a flight. And, you know, Ron, Dr. Oberstein, I came home and I have four children, a wife, you know, my children are young, 7, 8, 11, and 12, you know, two boys, two girls. My wife, Nava, you know, well, they said hello from a distance. I went into the guest room. I never saw him there. I self-quarantined for real. I mean, we're going to take this seriously, you know, because on that flight, Ron, when I came from the UAE, there were people coughing on that plane. And I was double masked, head down for 14 hours. I didn't want to take any chances. And I tell you, it was quite scary flying. The airports in Asia were scary.
Yeah.
You know, what we hear in the news and everything is one thing, you know, when you're at home in the news, but when you're actually there experiencing and flights are getting canceled at the airport, they were people panicking at the Kathmandu airport to get on flights and they could not get on flights. They were stuck. And I'll tell you, 3 days later, the people that I knew were flying even after that, I mean, are likely still stuck somewhere because I don't think everybody got out necessarily from other countries in Asia.
It's crazy.
It was crazy. So we got home, I self-quarantined and I just got out of the room a couple days ago, a few days ago. First thing I did, hug my kids and my wife and said, you know, why did this stop? You know, we really realized, Ron, how insignificant we are when you're in the Himalayas and you're looking at these mountains and just this creation and you realize, you know, we're nothing here. You know, we're so insignificant and it's our ego. We think we're bigger than we are. Yeah. And at that point, it doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank, credit cards, you can't get a flight home. You can't see your family. It makes no difference.
Exactly.
So it was a very humbling experience that.
But the crazy thing is here you are, you're climbing up and you're going to Everest Base Camp thinking like just blissful, you know, it's going to be, you know, get up there and see the world and do that stuff. And then find out that there's a pandemic. It's almost like, you know, War of the Worlds kind of thing, right? Shifted the paradigm pretty quickly, you know? And so now you're back in Canada, obviously. What's happening in Ontario? I just had Jeff Shelton on our leadership line. He was sharing what was going on over in Alberta, because he's over in Calgary. But what's going on in Ontario? Because are the provinces all working differently based on the colleges there?
Well, it's not even the colleges. I would say that, first of all, I'll tell you, the government, our provincial government, and in Ontario here in Toronto, our provincial government and our federal government are doing a fantastic job, Ron, I can say. They truly are pulling out all the stops to make sure the citizens' residents are safe.
Yeah.
And I give them big credit. They're on the same page, the same communication for our safety first. So I understand it's difficult, right? It's very difficult to stay home and people have no jobs right now, people getting laid off, employment. But they've come really joint and hard towards helping us get through these tough times. So I know from a chiropractic perspective, I'll tell you one, our national associations and provincial associations for chiropractic, I can say, are doing a great job informing all our members of what our options are and what we can do. So I give them big credit. And obviously, you know, myself being involved on obviously United States with our board there, Canada with our ICA stuff, and generally being active with our political community here in Canada. I mean, I'm very active. Our family's very active. And India, of course, I can see there's a consensus. It doesn't matter what country. Seems that everyone's on the same page here. And it's the foremost benefit for our members. So chiropractors here are getting some options. It's changing day by day, Ron. It's very fluid. So the government every day is giving more provisions as they hear feedback from our members. So we're trying to reach out to our members of parliament and our members of provincial parliament. And they've been, I can say, I'm in Oakville and in the Ontario region, Southeast Ontario, and I can tell you they're very proactive at listening to our concerns, needs, and taking the message forward. So I am quite happy at where we are now. It's not perfect, Ron. People are going to suffer. They're going to struggle because some of the rules right now don't allow us to do anything. But we are considered essential care in Ontario. And I will tell you that for myself, you might know our Nanda Family Trust, we have a family trust. We are involved and own some medical walk-in clinics with chiropractic, so we're very ingrained. And I can tell you that the family doctors and medical doctors that we work with are asking us, they've asked me personally, Dr. Nanda, if you could see if your clinics that your trust is part of could be open because we need help. We're getting people here that are non-viral and we're getting bogged down here. We're very overwhelmed. Yeah. Can you see acute and chronic cases? And I'm thankful that the Ontario government, Canadian government, made us essential. So I personally have not left, but our docs, I made a call out to our chiropractors. And the ones that are able to go to the clinics and help these patients are there. And they're actually sacrificed themselves, their families. And they said, you know what, we're going to do it. We're going to help out. And they're in the clinics right now working.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And you know, when given the opportunity, you know, to serve, chiropractors will always show up, you know. And yet, you know, we respect anyone, whatever they feel. If they feel that it's not safe for them to go, they have to trust their hearts in that, right? There's no right or wrong in here, right? And it's just such a beautiful thing to be able to see as people come together. And hopefully, you know, one of these silver linings, I won't even say hopefully because I'm already seeing it happen. The silver lining is that this is bringing people together, right? Bringing communities, bringing professions together. I just had a medical doctor that I interviewed for the leadership line, Dr. Sahil Chopra. And, you know, here's a guy, he's on the front lines. I mean, you know, he's doing some sleep research right now at Harvard University, but he's also working at intensive care units, right? And seeing what's going on there. And it's so beautiful that, you know, everyone's kind of working together, supporting each other, the nurses, I mean, everybody. And I think it's really a big time for healthcare workers to.
And I wanted to give you a shout out, Ron. That's a very good example. You know, Dr. Sahil Chopra, you know, I know his background, he's phenomenal, Harvard doc, and just doing phenomenal things for the community and service. And I got to say, Ron, you know, in our family, you know, we have family members of ours that are on the front line, whether they're emergency room doctors in the hospitals right now, a few of the hospitals here in Ontario, and nurses that are our family members. And I'm so appreciative to them for sacrificing, because they're not even coming home, Ron.
No.
They're actually going and staying away from their families for weeks at a time because they need to self-isolate, because they're constantly with these first line, you know, patients that are coming in. And some of the feedback I got, you know, Ron, very interesting. You know, I said to some of my friends, I said, what's the difference between, you know, people you normally see and people that are coming in? And these are ER doctors, and they say, you know, Jimmy, the problem here we're seeing for the first time in our, we've not seen this before. They're people that normally would come in, we, you know, treat them and they'd come out. You know, they've had respiratory issues or, you know, they get some medicine and they leave. This is the time they're coming in and there's nothing we can do. There's no medicine right now. There's nothing we can do other than manage them. And if they're senior and elder, we put them on ventilators. And the point they're on a ventilator is very tough to get them up. So these are my close family and friends, Ron, saying that we are overwhelmed and we don't know what to do. And when we have this type of environment, the only thing we can do is support them and thank them, because they're doing everything within their knowledge and power to help them, just like we do in our offices. So I wanted to give a shout out to them that really thank all these first line workers, restaurant workers, delivery workers, everybody, janitors, anybody doing anything that they're getting out of the house. I'm in awe of them and I wanted just to thank them.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. And I know that there's differences because obviously, you know, you're in Canada and we're both in North America. You know, you're in Canada, I'm in the US, USA, but in India, for instance, and I know you have your finger on the pulse because you're the chair of the board of the Indian Association of Chiropractic Doctors there. You know, what's the viewpoint over in India? And India has done a phenomenal job for a country of, you know, 1.3 billion registered people on the census. There's probably a bunch more that aren't registered. I mean, they've had a lockdown and they've done certain things, but they look at things differently also, obviously, right? You know, tell us about what's going on over there.
Well, Ron, yeah, it was actually a stunning difference. Okay, so North America, I'm under the same assumption all of us are, right? We have to listen. At the end of the day, as a chiropractic college or me as a chiropractor here, when we provide information to government, we do research and we have evidence, right? So it's studies and things like that. Anecdotally, of course, all of us have had patients in the office that have performed phenomenally. You give an adjustment or you treat from a neuromusculoskeletal condition or whatever type of office you have. And patients are getting better. And we sometimes don't have any data to say why, but they're getting better. And we need to look at the evidence, especially in a time like this. And we are, right? We all. The science is pretty clear. There's a lot more to do. One thing that's come out of this, I think we'll all agree, is that chiropractors need to put more funding into research so we have better and more specific data for what we're actually doing. We have a lot on pain and things like that, but about immunity, perhaps, there's been a lot of dialogue about that. And we need to go where the evidence is. So right now, India is a member, as you know, of the WFC, ICA, and LifeWest is doing a lot of work in India also. So I was astonished when I was hearing, you know, here that, you know, which is right, that we should stick with what, you know, what the facts and data are. That is very right. Whatever we see, we should go with. But in India, it's interesting. There's a Department of Health, you have your medical side, and it encompasses something called a Department of Ayush, which includes Ayurvedic medicine, yoga, Unani medicine, meditation, things like that. It's amazing. And those are mainstream medicine in India, because India is, as you know, Far East. And our founding, B.J. Palmer went to India back in the day when he was exploring chiropractic, and a lot of the principles they use in those days for chiropractic and the adjustment come from India and Indian philosophy. So it's phenomenal. And I've seen, because I'm part of that, part of the chairman of the board there, and we get these updates, Ayush and the different faculties of medicine there, whether it's Ayurvedic medicine or meditative or yoga medicine, are able to put out immunity-related fact sheets to people of India. So they're saying, if you as an Ayurvedic, go to an Ayurvedic doctor and there, here's the, recipe or medicine for Ayurvedic immunity booster to help fight this or fight that. So where we look at it as a taboo here in North America, and again, there's both sides of the argument. I mean, that is what's acceptable in India, so I cannot criticize what the government mandates there. And but I find it very interesting, a stark contrast there, as you can say, if you meditate, and here's studies to show that if you're meditating or doing yoga, it is boosting these cells in the body for immunity to help fight disease, non-specifically. We're not seeing coronavirus, but immunity. Increasing immunity will just make you a stronger person. So I found it just very interesting to see how we can do that there, but not necessarily do it here. Yeah. But I'll just follow up, finish off with that, Ron, to say that although that is there, I truly believe that we're on the cutting edge here of doing, I know there's research you're doing there at LifeWest that is going to be solving a lot of these questions or missing questions. And there's a lot of money we're raising in India, just, Ron, with orthopedic surgeons in the medical community to help see how chiropractic and orthopedic help with double-blind studies on that, where it's just orthopedics alone and chiropractic and orthopedic and chiropractic by itself for certain conditions. So I know in the next few years we're going to have that data.
Yeah, absolutely. But, what I love is this, and, that what you talk about with India, what I love is that, they're looking at the body holistically, and obviously that's the upbringing, right? Because Ayurveda was there way before Western medicine was there, so they're bringing in the thought process of get yourself taken care of, right? I mean, whatever it is, whether meditation, whether it's yoga, whether it's Ayurvedic, whatever it is, but get yourself taken care of. Homeopathy, get yourself taken, just keep your body as strong as possible, right? And I feel that's I hope that one of the silver linings of this for our profession, but for everybody living in in the Western world, is that it comes down to talking about, let's talk about getting our bodies stronger, because that's not what the conversation is right now. And I get it. I get that it's very it's emergency based right now, and everyone can agree to that. But afterwards, what's the conversation going to be? Is it going to be just about, let's just try to get a vaccine made, and let's just try to do this? Or is it about, how do we become stronger, right? How do we become stronger hosts? Dr. Chopra said something interesting, because he's working right now in like a 12 bed or 13 bed ICU. He said everyone who's coming in, who's really not doing well, dying, whatever, they all had issues, meaning it could have been from being overweight, right? So it could be metabolic. They had respiratory issues, that kind of stuff. He said they all had something, some comorbidity or something pre-existing that was there, right? And that once again lends itself to, how do we become as healthy as we can possibly be, which we should be anyways, but how do we become as healthy as we can possibly be, right? And to be able to be, if anything ever happens next. I'm hoping, it's my dream that from this we can start offshooting that, because our message can certainly get out there, right?
Well, Ron, I'll tell you this. I mean, I think it's exciting in the sense that we have a pandemic going on here, which is horrible. But what's happening here in Canada, and as I said, I consult a lot of chiropractors. I work with a lot of chiropractors that are just, doing their own business practices, and what they're doing in these situations, it's tough. But when you have medical doctors calling me and calling our clinics and saying, do you mind opening? Do you have chiropractors that can take our acute chronic patients? We can't take them. I find that very interesting, and it's very needed. And because we're essential here, we cannot force anyone. And I understand the chiropractors that are saying, this is a risk, it can spread. I totally understand that. And the last thing we want is for this virus to spread, asymptomatically, as you're seeing the research and the briefings now. That is the biggest fear. So in a situation where you're taking all the precautions, and we're taking care of these patients where the MD medical community is saying, you know, Dr. Nanda, we're seeing our patients saying they had a benefit. Can you help them? And we're actually getting the help. You know, the couple of our clinics have been open the last few weeks since the pandemic, and they're getting relief. And now we started the telemedicine round, which is fantastic. Our national associations and Ontario associations here fought for a lot of our chiropractors to get provincially, I know it's different province by province, but we can do telemedicine. And it's fantastic. We're on to follow your patient to see, are you following the advice of your doctor? Of course, we cannot do the adjustment or do the treatment, but we can talk to them, see how they're doing. Sometimes that's the least you can say. Say, hey, you know, Mr. Smith, how are you? How are you doing since your last visit, your last adjustment? What are you doing? What can we advise you on to hold and be as healthy as you can until we see you next time? So I'm really appreciative that we have these options. And I don't know how it's there in California, but here we're allowed to, you know, bill for that. So there's an income for chiropractors that are doing that. And the ones that are closed, wrong, the fantastic thing is that at least there's some relief coming from the government. It's not great, but day by day, they're increasing that. So maybe we can get some more relief for the chiropractors business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what the cool thing is too, is that, you know, as chiropractors, you know, we all know this and our viewers know this. And I had a discussion about this with Justin Ohm. You know, that there's that psychosocial aspect, and we don't know the stresses that our people are under, right? That our patients are under, our practice members. You know, we got patients who are stuck at home with their kids and they haven't done this 24/7 like that. We have pregnant patients who are wondering, can they go to the hospital to deliver their baby? Is it safe to go to the hospital if they're choosing to have a hospital birth? And so I think with telehealth, I think it's such a great opportunity because we as chiropractors have always, you know, had close relationships with our patients because maybe it's because we see them on a frequency visit level, whatever it might be, or whatever it is. But there's always been that trust and that bond that's been built between us, our, you know, the chiropractor and the patient, that it gives us such a good opportunity now just to reach out, check in, just to see how they're doing, you know, whether it's not even physical, but just how they're doing, just from the caring level. And that's what I love. And it's such a great thing, you know, to be able to touch in with people.
And one thing I realized, Ron, which I'm sure you're hearing too in California or in your circle, one thing we should do, and I want to encourage anybody that's watching this, you know, even reach out to your colleagues and other chiropractors. We have no idea what stress they're going through. And I realized that in the last few weeks, I've been talking to many chiropractors, just trying to just help them out. And Ron, there's tough situations out there. And one thing we can do to help our colleagues, just listen to them, talk to them. And you never know through our resources and connection that we all have, maybe there's an opportunity to help them. So something I encourage everyone, just call somebody you haven't talked to in years. Maybe you're graduating class when you graduated, see how everyone's doing. So I think one of the silver linings you said, you know, Ron, I can't remember the last time, I'm sure you too, that I've sat home, let alone for weeks in a row, not traveling. And, you know, I've caught up on research. I've been doing a lot of research and reading and catching up and seeing, you know, re-educating myself and sometimes, you know, sitting with my kids. Ron, my four kids, and explaining to them what a pandemic means for a 7-year-old and then my 12-year-old, and hearing their perspectives and saying, how are we going to make the world a better place when we're out of here? What are we going to do to help humanity? And just having that discussion of why family is important, friends are important. So, you know, I can see the silver lining out of this, and I just hope when we're out of here, Ron, the world can be a better place, you know?
Yes, yes. And that, and you know what? And looking at it from a salutogenic level, you know, salutogenic lens, it's exactly what's going to happen, right? How are we going to create a better world, and how are we going to create better health? And it's such a great thing. Jimmy, I first of all, I just want to thank you for all you're doing in chiropractic, because I know you're a busy guy and you're all over the place, you know, from India, Canada, U.S., you know, and all the hats that you're wearing, plus running a family, you know, and thank God your wife is so wonderful that she could, you know, help out and probably be the CEO on that level. But the clinics that you have and the things that are going on. So thank you for all you're doing for humanity and chiropractic. I want to thank you for what you're doing for Life West, because, you know, you're, as the chair of the board, you're steering the ship, and really thank you for that. There's just a lot happening, so thank you.
So, Ron, thank you for that. And I just want to quickly just give a shout-out to you on behalf of our Board of Regents, Dr. Oberstein, Dr. Kristen Giles, Dr. Stephen Silk, who you know, Dr. Angel Otoria, Scott Turner, and Cameron Hastings. We got a fantastic Board of Regents, Ron, and we're also grateful to you for steering the ship for our students at Life West and for chiropractic in taking care of them. I mean, these are unprecedented times, Ron, and I know our students are in good hands. We're taking care of these online learning, which has never happened, And I've been, you know, hearing feedback and reading that, that the students are at least getting support. And the number one thing which you've done, and we all know that, is making sure our students are safe and secure. Yeah. They're taken care of. There's no stress that can affect them in their education and maybe family life. So Ron, on behalf of the board and chiropractic, thank you for steering the ship at Life West and taking care of everybody here.
I appreciate that very much. And I love to take all that credit, but I can't, because, you know, we got a team here.
Absolutely.
And, you know, all the way from our the staff that works here, you know, and our faculty and our administration. I mean, everyone is pulled together just so beautifully. And you know, we're all about give, do, love, serve. And it's really what's there, right? Lasting purpose. So thank you, Jimmy. I do appreciate that. And to our viewers, well, thank you again for tuning in to our Life West Leadership Line. Make sure that you see other episodes that you haven't seen. We're putting them out twice a week unless something happens that we have to get more news out for. But just remember to keep living your life from above down, inside out, and just love the people that you're with. And as Dr. Ananda said, call a colleague, call somebody who you might not have spoken to, and even people that you speak to that you haven't spoke to recently, to check in on them, because I think that's what we do as chiropractors. Let's check in on our community, make sure everybody's good, okay? Take care of yourself, stay safe, stay healthy, and until our next edition, you know, tune in and keep loving the people around you.
Thank you for joining us today, and for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.